Bible or New Testament, we're going to just read one verse this evening found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 12. Gospel of John chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 46. John 12 and 46. We're going to read the words of the Lord Jesus. And he says here in John chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I'll read it again. John chapter 12 and verse 46. I am come, speaking of the Lord Jesus, of himself, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And we know God will bless his word to each of your souls tonight. One thing that is wonderful about reading the Gospel of John, and particularly in relation to the preaching of the gospel, is that there are very simple and plain words that are recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And so it's likely that we all know the words of John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. Plain words. Simple words of great wonder, though, that tell us of the way in which God has worked and the way in which God has moved. Here this evening we have taken up another passage from John's Gospel here in chapter 12. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Words of plainness, words of simplicity. They are words of explanation, really, to us tonight for why the Son of God has ever come, why he has come to this earth. I want you to notice there are at least a couple of contrasts that are going to be found in John chapter 12 and verse 46. You will notice that there's, in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of light and he speaks of darkness. You'll also recognize that he speaks of whosoever. And that's a very large, large group of people because that includes everyone. But he also speaks of himself and he speaks of me. Not me as in me here tonight, but the Lord says me in relation to himself as he's the one that is speaking. And so we understand that physically light and darkness are going to give us a picture. And from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of God's creation, he created the light and the darkness. And there he made a difference between the day and the night. And he called the one the day and the other, the night, the light, and the darkness. But as we read through John chapter 12 and we look at verse 46, and we speak here, and the Lord is speaking of light and darkness, we're not speaking of things that are physical. We're not thinking of things that are happening in this world in relation to the sun or the moon or the hours of darkness or light that we have. We're speaking of a spiritual darkness. We're thinking of that means that there is a separation for eternity that is coming for those who reject God's salvation, who reject the offer that God has for each. But also when we think of this word darkness, it's going to describe for us how God sees you and me, how God sees each one that have not trusted Christ, who do not have their sins forgiven, do not know the joy of having eternal life. It's how God sees a person in their sins. And to be in darkness now and to never accept the Lord Jesus, to be in darkness for eternity. And so our Lord Jesus Christ here is opening up to us in very plain words, seeking to bring to your attention tonight and to those who first heard it, the words here he says, I am come, a light into the world. Whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I want to think of just this verse in four ways this evening, just going through it from front to back. First of all, the phrase, the Lord says, I am come. What a wonder that the Lord, Jesus Christ, ever came. And then he says again, a light into the world. What a witness. What a witness to this world. And then he says that whosoever believeth on me, and we're going to think of what a work. What a work has been accomplished. We proclaim tonight a finished work. That's why I gave out those hymns this evening. Look to the Savior on Calvary's tree. Look and thou shalt live. All those hymns and choruses directing our attention to the one who has given himself. And we say this evening, what a work has been accomplished. And then the end of the verse, should not abide in darkness. What a warning to those who reject God's salvation. And so we think there the Lord says, I am come. And so in just three simple words, we have something that the Lord expresses as a great, great truth. I am come. Come from heaven. Come into the earth, this earth that we live in as well, to come from the very glory of heaven and the perfection and wonder of the place of the presence of God, to come into this world that is blemished by sin, broken by sin. You know, just a few days ago while I was here, I got an email from someone, and they were just reminding me of something in relation to St. Lucia. And they said, you probably already know this, but did you realize that St. Lucia has one of the highest murder capitals in all the Caribbean? I said, yeah, I know that. I read the news. I can see it. And you might think this evening of places like in the news you heard of Jamaica or places like that. And, you know, per capita, St. Lucia has had more murders last year in 2021 than even some of those other difficult places in the world. And we think of the sin and the darkness. And we think of the brokenness in the world and the manner in which life is just cut short so easily and so quickly. And it would seem for very little apparent reason, or no good reason at all. And we say, well, no wonder it's a dark world, a sinful world that the Lord came to. And that is true. There can be no greater wonder. The God of heaven sending his only begotten Son into a world such as we live in. Maybe you're saying this evening, well, that's not the world I live in. Perhaps not, and we can be thankful for that. But it's still a world that's marked by sin. And we're going to come to that in a little moment when we think of the witness of the Lord to each one. What a wonder that God ever sent his Son. What a wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ ever came willingly into this world, leaving that place of glory and majesty and splendor, and entering here, thinking of the words that were spoken by the angels on the night that he came, glory to God in the highest. The words that were spoken again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Savior which is Christ, the Lord. It was the Creator coming into the world in which he formed and with his own hands and spoke into existence. And I want us to think this evening that when our Lord Jesus Christ says here in John chapter 12, I am come. He's speaking of the time when he first came into the world. He's coming as Savior. He's coming not to judge the world at this moment. He's not coming to condemn at this moment, but he's come that there might be life and opportunity and salvation for all. But make no mistake, dear friend, this evening, it's not the only time he's going to come. And the Lord is coming back. He is coming back as a judge, and he will judge this earth. He didn't come immediately when he came the first time to immediately punish and to condemn. Thank God this evening we can proclaim that there is salvation, a deliverance. And so this evening I want to draw your attention away from your own family, your own community, your own experiences, your own life, your own difficulties and struggles. And recognize this evening the wonder The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come. No greater amazement, no greater wonder, no greater entrance, no greater birth has ever been recorded. And the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But he moves on to say, not only I am the one that has come, but he describes how he has come and for what he has come. And so he says there in the next part of the verse, I am come a light into the world. You ask this evening, why did he come? For what purpose was it that he came? Well, our verse would tell us, he says it himself. He came to be a witness, a light into the world. And so this evening, there were those that wanted to see God. And they were able to look into the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they looked into the face of God himself. If there was ever those that wanted to know what the character of God was, what was God like? They could follow along and they could watch the Lord Jesus as he lived and as he moved. If they ever wondered where God was compassionate and loving, or whether he was just wanting to judge and to punish, well, they could look at the Savior. They could hear him speak words to a little girl that had died and say, arise. And he could restore that child to grieving parents. They found out that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is compassionate. If they ever wondered what God was like, and was God truly holy? Was God truly sinless and perfect? Well, they simply looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. They viewed him. He came a light into the world, a witness to this world, demonstrating the character and perfection of God. And for 3 years or so, they looked upon him and they saw the perfection of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a witness to this world. What a witness to the character of God. What a witness that God loves and loves you so much this evening that he sent his Son, and the Son came. If you ever wondered this evening, or they wondered, or didn't know whether how God viewed sin or how God viewed your life, and how God viewed eternity, the Lord himself in Luke chapter 16 is going to part aside and give us a glimpse into things that are eternal and tell us of a man who leaves this earth and enters into the torments of hell. His sins never been forgiven. He'll never have another opportunity to accept and to have life, eternal life. And through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize how God views sin. Something that is separating. Something that causes separation between you and God. And so we think of the words of the Savior. He says here in John chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, a witness. A witness to all around. Whether or not they wanted to believe it, he still was a witness. Whether or not they wanted to understand it, whether or not they denied it, whether or not they rejected the light. And many of them did. He came unto his own received him not. He came as a light into this world, and the light was rejected. It did not change the fact that he was a pure and perfect witness to the person of God and his love and his character, his desire for you. Came to be a light, a witness to the world. Showing to each one who would just simply take the time to stop and consider themselves. The pure one, the spotless one, the holy one, the sinner. You know, there was a day when the Apostle Peter looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I wonder if each one of us tonight would be that honest before God, before the witness of the light of the world. What was it that man Peter, the Apostle Peter, we know him as, What do we know him? What do we understand of his life and his, what did he see? He saw the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him for who he is. He looked in within himself and understood. It's opposite to me. I am a sinful man. And so it is the light of the gospel. It is the light of the word of God. It is light that shines in the darkness. It is light that exposes you and exposes me for who we truly are. And it is God who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that light is so shined as a witness into this world, and still shines tonight here in this building, in this community, in this city, to show each one of us just simply how ungodly we are. You know, there is a man that just came to mind in a village in St. Lucia. We call him First Peter, and the reason is simply because 4 years ago, four and a half years ago, in the village of Anse-Lorraye, we had gospel meetings there, and over the few weeks of gospel meetings, sadly, there was only two men that ever came into the gospel meeting. And the first one that came in, his name was Peter. And the second one that came in, well, you know what his name was? It's Peter. And so just in my mind, and we were talking with the family, this was just First and Second Peter. All right, and so that's who. He's still First Peter, and Second Peter is actually up in Tennessee right now. Anyway, I saw First Peter. I think I might have wrote it in a letter. You know, and I thought of him. Here's a man who recognized the light of the gospel, has no problem admitting his sin. We'll come to it in a moment. The Lord says, "Whosoever believeth on me." You know, First Peter is not, he's not willing to accept the work of the Savior. You see, there's something, again, dear friend, tonight to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. What a wonder, what amazement that he ever stooped to come into the world. To come as a witness to show us who we are, to show us, first of all, who God is. And then to show us who we are as sinners, as ungodly, as separated from God, as rejecting him, hopeless and helpless, headed for a place of destruction and eternal torment. And you know, like First Peter this evening, maybe you're going to accept, yeah, that's true. But I trust you're going to stay with me as we move to the next little phrase of the verse, and to understand that there is something that God has for you. As the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me." I don't want you to miss the focus of the verse tonight. There is a salvation for whosoever, a salvation for all. And yet there is just one and one only Savior. And I want to speak just for a few moments this evening of that Savior, of the one and only Savior. Lord Jesus Christ here as he speaks, look again at those words he says, "Whosoever believeth on me." There's a focus in this verse. There's an attention that we want to bring your attention to this evening. The focus is on the Lord Jesus, the one who himself here speaks of himself as me. When he speaks of himself in that way, he's speaking of the one who has come. He's speaking of himself as the one who is the witness, is the light. Maybe you ask this evening, "Well, what does the Lord Jesus Christ have to do with me? What does it have to do with me and my life?" Well, we've noticed already it is the Lord Jesus as the light that exposes me for who I am. And I recognize in my sin where I'm going to be. And yet we're going to look at the Savior. We're going to recognize that there is something that he has done. What a work. What a work has been accomplished. What a work has been finished and completed there at the cross of Calvary. And so we think this evening of the world, a world that is marred and marked by sin, a world that is headed for death, for destruction. And yet we say gladly this evening. We proclaim to you that the God of heaven is not willing that any should perish. The God of heaven has a great desire for each one tonight, that each would recognize their need and understand and put their faith and trust, their rest in him, the one who has come, the one who says that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that brings us to the immense problem of our sin. You know, First Peter, he has an idea there in St. Lucia of how he's going to change his life. The problem is, it hasn't helped him. And he keeps going back to the same things, and he understands that it's not the way he wants to live, not the way he wants to be. Yet he will not recognize that there is a finished work that's been fully done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin needs to be dealt with. Sin must be punished. That is a principle of Scripture. That is a principle of God, that sin will and must be punished. And God will be and God must be satisfied in the punishment of sin. And now that comes to bring us here this evening for the reason for why he came. Listen again to those words that were spoken at the day he was born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Scriptures teach us again, to save sinners. And so this evening we gladly proclaim that there is salvation for all. There is salvation for the whosoever. Yet sin must be dealt with. My sin needed to be dealt with. Your sin must be dealt with if you're ever going to enter into the heaven that God has prepared. You know, this evening, again, I want to be careful. Recognize tonight that we do not proclaim God's salvation simply that you might escape the punishment of sin, though each one deserves it. I recognize the love of God to draw you and to desire you to be with himself. That's a greater desire, is it not? That's a greater love that's been displayed. Not simply that he might show us mercy, and it's a great and a wondrous mercy, but to show us the grace of bringing a sinner into the place of salvation, their sins forgiven, and to bring them home with himself. That's God's desire for the whosoever. And so you say this evening, how then does the sinner be saved? How then can my sin be dealt with? And that's why we turn to Calvary again. That's why we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as he is there at the cross of Calvary, condemned to die and lifted up at the cross. And there in hours of darkness, God places and God punishes his Son. And sin has been punished fully. Sometimes sin is spoken of as a debt. If you use that analogy, the debt has been fully paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin's guilt, sin's debt, there at the place called Calvary. What is it then that is necessary for the sinner to do? Well, our verse describes it very simply, whosoever believeth on me. Oh, to look and to recognize that the Savior did not need to die. The Savior is holy and spotless. He came a light into the world and exposed all the sin of others. None could point a finger at him. And so therefore, when he was at the cross, his work, his suffering was not for his own, but for the sin of the whosoever, that all may come, that the world may have life. And the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died voluntarily. That means he willingly came. He chose to come. He chose to go to the cross. He would not turn back. He would not turn away from it. But again, this evening, it's not just a voluntary death that we proclaim this evening, but it's a death of triumph, a death of victory. And the Lord cries, "It is finished," taken down and buried in the tomb and gloriously raised again. And tonight we tell you of a Savior that's alive. A Savior that's living. A Savior that has been gloriously brought back to heaven. no longer here in this world that is marked by sin. But as a man, he has gone back to glory, taken the marks of Calvary there into heaven. The one who has given himself and laid down his life and his precious blood shed. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So I say tonight, as I look upon the cross, in the sense that, yes, the cross is empty this evening, but we look back and recognize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I look there and I say at the sinless Lord Jesus Christ is my substitute. His death there was on behalf of my sin. His death there was on behalf of the sin that I have committed that I would need to be punished for. And yet there was an opportunity. Yet there was that time when I recognized, not by this verse, but by the truth of this verse, that whosoever would just simply rest and trust in the work that has been finished, in the completion. You know, I say this evening, what a work has been done. What more can be added? What more would you seek to bring than to a Savior who has given himself? Given himself on behalf of the world. What a work has been finished at the cross. Whosoever, the Lord says, believeth on me. Not only is the work that's been finished, but what a work in relation to who it's for. Whosoever. I'm glad this evening, while it may just be a few of us here tonight in a large building, there's a world that surrounds us. And it is a gospel. It is a message for whatever, for whoever. Not just for a few. Not just for a select few. Not just for those that can pay a little more. You know, I came up here on the flight. You know, you pass by first class on the plane, and you pass by the comfort class, and you pass by the premium economy, you know, and you go back and you take your seat at the back of the plane. You know, the plane's all going to the same destination. But I wasn't paying for first class. It wasn't just for a select few. It wasn't just one price paid for all. Each person paid their own individual fare and got different privileges, different legroom, I guess, or whatever it was that they enjoyed in different parts of the plane. You know, this evening, let's not think of God's salvation in any kind of form like that, where there's something that we must do or something that different people are going to get, or some will have more of salvation, or some will have less, or some will have a better salvation. This evening, God's salvation is for all. Whosoever believeth on me. It's the salvation for all. It's the salvation that saves each one the same way, because it is based upon a work that has been finished, based upon the precious blood of Christ that he has shed there at the cross, the place called Calvary. Will you accept his death tonight? Have you accepted his death, his work, on behalf of your need, your great need for eternity? Such a great wonder that the Lord ever stepped from heaven and into this world, into time. Such a witness in relation to showing us the person of God, the character of God, and exposing who we are. He's done a great work at the cross. It's never, ever needing to be repeated. One sacrifice forever. The work has been done. I want to close this evening thinking of that last phrase. Whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I know this verse is written in the positive, in relation to those, the outcome for those who accept the Lord as Savior. And we'll come to that in a moment, but I just want to think of the warning for someone who enters and stays in darkness. To abide means simply to stay or to dwell. And again, forgive the stories of St. Lucia, but they're obviously in my mind. And there's a man that I was put in contact with, a blind man named Lloyd. And each week or so, I tried to visit him, he wasn't always blind. About 10 years or so that he started to go blind. You know, he said there were times when he'd be able to go out into the hot heat of the sunshine of the Caribbean and he could put his face toward the sun and he would see something of a bit of light. But now he goes outside. He turns his eyes toward the sun. And the only reason he knows it's the sun is because he feels the heat on his face. Living in darkness. Not a shred of light. Not a glimmer of light that reaches his eyes. And I can't quite imagine what it's like. Even for us, you know, if we close our eyes or put our hands over our eyes, there's still something of light that reaches to us. Here is a man there that is dwelling in physical darkness, blindness. But again, coming back to our story here this evening and the contrast of light and darkness, the contrast of the whosoever that need to be saved and the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. We're thinking here of a darkness that's spiritual, a darkness that describes who we are. It describes, first of all, though, the place of those that are lost. Have you thought tonight, maybe in the past days when the gospel has been preached, of what it means to be in darkness, to be in the darkness of your sin, to be in the darkness of a physical life here on earth, a life without God, a life headed toward destruction. And in the chart behind us, in the picture of that, in the darkness of the broad way, it leads to everlasting darkness. The darkness of the evil and sin of your own heart and mind. And even so, this evening, if your sins have never been forgiven, there's never been that moment, as in the words of this verse, that you believed on me, on the Lord Jesus. Understood that he died for my sins, that he gave himself that I might have life. There's never been that moment, that time. And the scripture says that you are abiding in darkness. You're in darkness. And for those who are going to enter into eternity, you know, here there's words of welcome. Should not abide in darkness. And understand this evening, you don't need to stay in that place of darkness. You don't need to stay in that place of condemnation, to stay in the place of separation from God. There's no need to stay in darkness in this life. Oh, I tell you gladly, there's definitely no need to stay or to enter into the place of darkness for all of eternity. Why? Because our scripture says, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me, on me, should not abide in darkness, should not stay, should not dwell in darkness. I tell you this evening, what a wonderful promise. Do you have it for yourself? Have you taken a hold of it and received it for yourself? Whosoever will may come. I trust tonight you're going to be the one that says, that means me. That speaks to me this evening. That means that I can be saved. I do not need to abide in darkness. I am going to receive the message of God's salvation. I'm going to recognize that it is my sin that he paid for there at the cross of Calvary. And I'm going to go free. Nothing for what I have done, but because of the work that's been done for the one who came into the world. That's the welcome. I want to just close with a word of warning this evening to each one not saved. Because to be in darkness now, meaning to be in your sin, to be on the broad way that leads away from God and to destruction, and then to neglect salvation and slip into eternity, is to be in darkness forever. and you will abide in darkness. And when the Savior comes again, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and he comes to judge, sin will be punished and you will be condemned forever. What a warning. The judgment of sin, separation from God, the lake of fire, what a judgment. We proclaim to you this evening, we warn you of the judgment to come. It is appointed unto man once to die, the scripture teaches us. But after this, the judgment. The gospel message, it's a message of responsibility. And we're glad you've come this evening. We trust you'll come again. But tonight, you're here. And tonight, you've heard God's salvation. Tonight, the words of the Lord Jesus have come before you. I am come, a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And the gospel message is a message to be obeyed. It's a message to you who this evening are in your sins and in darkness. If your sins have never been forgiven, you are in darkness and you need to be saved. And so tonight your ears have heard an invitation. Your ears have heard a message of salvation. Your ears have heard of a blessed Savior who left the glory of heaven and gave himself. I trust tonight you're not going to be like that man, 1 Peter, and keep on trying his own way. But you're going to recognize there's, in the words of the hymn, there's life and a look at the crucified one. You know that favorite song, I think I mention it every time I might speak, oh, why was he there as a bearer of sin? Why did the Lord die? Why did he give himself at the cross of Calvary if it was not for the purpose of giving himself on behalf of the world's sin? And tonight, when we can recognize that and see it, entering into the world and showing the desire of God to save you tonight, recognize it, see it, believe the welcome of the gospel. He's been crucified. He's borne the punishment for the whosoever. He's gloriously raised again and is able and willing to save. And yet tonight, God holds you responsible for what you've heard tonight. And that's solemn. That makes this message different than other messages. You know, again, when you were flying in the States, you don't have to wear a mask on the airplane. Some did, some didn't. I was flying from Minneapolis to Canada. And so in the air, the rules changed. Imagine that. And as soon as the pilot began to slow the engines down and bring the plane down to come into Winnipeg, they all went around and put your masks on. You have to put your masks on to enter into Canada. Don't enter the building. Don't enter the customs or immigration building without a mask. You'll get a fine. You'll be whatever it was. You know, there was a responsibility that was given to these people. And as I looked around, you know, everyone heeded. Everyone took that warning. Everyone took that message. You know, this evening we're not speaking of something like that. We're speaking of a message of eternity. Where you will be for eternity. The Lord says, I am come. There might be an opportunity for none to enter into darkness, for no one to ever abide in darkness. And yet to be responsible tonight to God for hearing of his Son, will you come tonight? Simply turn in your sin, turn from your sin, turn and recognize the glory and wonder of God's salvation. As it were, embrace the Savior. He's given himself. He's loved me. He's given himself for me. To know the wonderful blessing, the wonderful joy of sins forgiven, you'll have life. You'll have joy. And in the words of the promise of John chapter 12, you shall not abide in darkness. May God bless each one tonight with salvation and with the enjoyment of everlasting life. Shall we pray?